Welcome back to Between the Lines on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have a very special guest in studio today. To my knowledge, still the only man that received a standing ovation from Dick Vitale in college basketball history. I remember that game very, very well. He's had an outstanding career in the NBA as well. Nick Collison of the Oklahoma City Thunder is here, and he's working with the Red Cross to get the word out for some tornado relief and some of the damages done in Oklahoma City. And it's always good to see you in Kansas City. But, Nick, welcome to the show. This has been a tough week for your new hometown, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I was actually in Kansas City when it happened, but I was watching the news, and, man, it was just what an awful situation. And the devastation is incredible. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that lost everything, and of course, the people who are even less fortunate lost family members. So hearts and prayers are with those people, and just trying to spread the word for people if they want to help. They can go to the Red Cross website. It's www.redcross.org. Or they can text Red Cross to 90999 to help.
All right, so the Red Cross has this text line, and they did this with Superstorm Sandy, and they've done it with other things. I think a lot of people now know the number. You can literally take your smartphone out and text the word Red Cross, the words Red Cross, capital letters Red Cross, to 90999 and make an automatic donation to help benefit the folks in Moore, Oklahoma, that are trying to recover from the tragedy of the tornado down there. Or you can visit the website redcross.org and help out that way. You were in Kansas City, but I'm sure as you're looking at some of this, you're so familiar now with Oklahoma City and everything there, it must have just been – and we're Midwest guys. We're all Midwest guys. We've been around. This could have been here. I mean, this could have been anywhere. To see this, I think, was very frightening for a lot of people in the Midwest.
Yeah, for sure. I grew up in Iowa. We have tornadoes occasionally. They're not, like, as frequent and as there are in Oklahoma. But, yeah, I think it's something that people in Oklahoma have lived with. They've known there's been threats of tornadoes every summer. It happens all the time, tornado watches and warnings, but this is something different. The force that this thing came through with and the devastation it caused is something different, and people need a lot of help. And, you know, I wasn't there, but I was worried about a lot of people I knew. Fortunately, people I knew were okay, but there's other people who weren't as lucky.
Well, Oklahoma City obviously has, embraced basketball so ardently, and one of the reasons I think is that, you know, they have pride in their city, and no professional sports before, you know, the basketball team came to town. What has the experience been like in going from a franchise where the people did love the franchise, but eventually it would, you know, be moved because the support wasn't necessarily there from the community, to this place where you're the only game in town?
Well, Oklahoma City's been great to us since day one when we got there. The fan support has been incredible. It's been very consistent. You know, even the first year when we were bad, we had fans every night. If we play a non-playoff team on a Tuesday in January, it'll be a sellout. So they're always there, and it does feel like the whole community's behind you. I mean, everywhere you go, everyone's talking about the Thunder. You see Thunder T-shirts everywhere, bumper stickers, flags, and so it really feels like the whole entire city's behind you. I don't know. It seems like 95% of people watch all the games. I know it's probably not true, but that's what it seems like when you're playing there.
How tough was the end of the season for you? There must have been most of the year you probably felt like you had a really, really great chance, not just to get back to the finals, but to win the whole thing. And then the injury occurs, and obviously it wasn't quite the same after that. How difficult was that for you and your teammates to deal with?
Yeah, it was tough. It was it's a stomach punch when you get it right in the middle of the playoffs, you know, to one of your main guys. You know, it's part of the game. It's what happens. But when it's, you know, when a guy that's as important as Russell was to us, it really sets us back, especially when you don't have much time to adjust to playing without him. And we did okay. It didn't end like we would have liked, and obviously the injury was a big part of that. The good news is I think he'll be able to make a full recovery, and we'll have obviously a good shot at having a great team next year. But we'll have to start over and try to do all the right things, try to build up our habits and all those things we have to do in the regular season to try to get back in the playoffs and make another run at it.
I think a lot of people would be curious to know what it's like to play with the two stars, because they're so kind of different. You know, Kevin's kind of an all-around player and more in control and everything seemingly on the court, and Russell's awfully, obviously, sometimes criticized for being kind of a one-man show out there. What are the dynamics of playing with those two guys?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to have been around with those guys since they first got here, and we've grown so much as a team, and those guys have grown a lot too. I think the thing with them is their talent is off the charts, and they I guess their mindset or where their spirit is in the right place. I think we all saw how much we miss Russell in these playoffs, and he provides. He's a special player. There's nobody in the league like him who has that effect on the game with the force that he plays with. He's always in attack mode, and he's come a long way too in the leadership areas that people don't see as much. And his complete game, you know, his floor game and running the team has come a long way too. He's come so far. I mean, when he was a senior in high school, he was only recruited by like Creighton, University of San Diego. I think maybe Kansas State or Kent State was in there. And then I think Jordan Farmer went to the NBA early, so he had a spot at UCLA. So he wasn't a real highly recruited kid coming out of high school. And then like 3 years later, he's on the all-rookie team, and now he's second-team all-NBA. So he's just had an incredible improvement in his game, and I think we're going to see even more so in the years to come. And Kevin obviously is great. He's one of the top two talents in the world. And you couldn't ask for a better teammate. He does everything the right way, and we're still growing, we're still learning, and those guys are a big part of it.
Nick Collison, our guest. Nick, you know, I've heard people describe you as a glue guy or a core guy or things like that, but you're so much more than that on this team, and I'm just curious from your perspective how much better a player you believe you are today, and NBA careers don't last forever, but as opposed to maybe your first year, two, 3 years in the league, how much of it is a learning process? When I see you play, you really play with savvy. I mean, mm-hmm. you're a very smart player, and you do things that a lot of the younger guys just haven't seen before. How much of it, playing at this level, is an evolution to continue to just grow as a player, and how much does that benefit you today?
That's a huge part of it. I think we're going to see it now in the draft. There's going to be guys that are going to get drafted, and some of them are going to make it, and some of them aren't. And the ones that are going to make it are the ones that are going to figure out what they can do to be effective and to bring value to a team. And those are the things that come with experience. And some guys are predisposed. They see the game a little better than others, whatever it is. But the way I see the game and how I feel out there has changed so much from when I first got in the league. Just the comfort level, the confidence, just a comfort in who I am as a player. Those things have changed a lot for me. In my first few years, you're trying to figure it out. And a lot of it, too, is what situation you get into. If you can get into a good situation in a good organization, with a defined role and it's clear what you're supposed to be doing, that can really help guys. If you look like a guy like Kawhi Leonard with San Antonio, a lot of teams passed on him, and now he's going to be a star. And he's very talented, and he deserves a lot of that credit. But also part of it is he got in a great system where his role was clearly defined, and he can practice certain shots. He knows what shots he's going to get. He knows the defensive scheme. It's clearly defined, and that makes it all the difference in the world for a player. And I found that groove here in Oklahoma City the last few years, and it's been good for me.
How much is your success due to the fact that maybe some guys in your situation, a highly drafted player, lottery pick type, big star in college, big scorer in college, can embrace the fact that you're going to get some nights three shots in your 19 or 20 minutes that you play? How much of a transition was that for you?
It's tough for a lot of guys. I think that's the thing is you're taking like most guys that come in where that was the role they played was there was a score, they had plays called for them, they're creating offense. When you get to the NBA, there's maybe three or four guys on the roster that they're really trying to get shots, and the rest of the guys have to figure out what else you can do to help the team win. And it's not always what you've done in the past, so it's almost a different skill set sometimes. And it's a tough adjustment for some guys, and I think the quicker you can figure out what you do and what you bring to the team, but then also continue to work on things and try to improve and maybe add some things. But I think the quicker you can see that, the better off you'll be.
Before we let you go, we got to ask you about the Jayhawks. I don't know that Ben McLemore is going to go one, but I think there's a scenario out there where he may. I think most people project him at two. We're pretty sure Andrew Wiggins, who's coming into KU, is going to go number one next year. What advice would you have for guys, you know, lacing it up at your alma mater and playing basketball for Bill Self as they get ready to enter this? And poor KU, they lose all their starters, and Self just goes out and gets the best player in the country.
Right.
It's a machine, isn't it? I know you follow it closely, as do almost anyone who played mm-hmm. in Kansas. But your thoughts on this high-level talent that's rolling through KU right now?
Well, I think it's great. I think the kids made a good choice to go there. Coach Self has been a great coach here now for 10 years, I believe, and You know, he's going to do a good job with those guys, develop them. I think they made a great choice. I think for the players, what they should think about coming in is there's so much more distraction now than even when I played, with just the social media and the amount of attention that high school kid gets.
Yeah.
And they've probably already been exposed to so many things that I never was exposed to. So they have to deal with more things than we did, you know, us older guys when we were younger. And obviously I wasn't that talented like Wiggins is, but I would say to try to just focus on school basketball and try to block that stuff out you know, just enjoy it, because it doesn't seem like it's good. It's probably not going to be a too long of a run. Probably going to be a year for him at KU, but enjoy it because it's a lot of fun.
How do you think Macklemore will do?
He's
going to get drafted really
high. I really like his game. I like his ability. He's a natural scorer. He has a good feel for the game. He's one of the guys that can put it on the floor and shoot, and there's not a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys can do either or. So I think for him, he's going to get into the league, and it's going to be about the work that he puts in on his game and then, like I was saying earlier, how he sees how he can fit in, those type of things. But hopefully those guys will get into a good situation and have great careers.
Nick's helping out the Thunder. They've donated $1 million to the Red Cross for relief efforts in Moore, Oklahoma. If you'd like to help, you can visit the Red Cross website. It is redcross.org, or you can take your phone and text Red Cross to 90999 and make a donation. Just text Red Cross to 90999 and help out the folks in Moore, Oklahoma. It's pretty neat. It seems like the whole community and team and everybody have gotten behind relief efforts, and I think it's pretty cool that you're in here today helping out while you're visiting in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I think, like I said earlier, we feel fortunate to have the fans that we do, and we feel like we're a part of the community. So if we have an opportunity to help people out, we're all going to do it. And, you know, it's just we feel like we're all in it together. Obviously, the people more are going through it, but anything we can do to help, we're going to try to do.
Good for you. Congratulations on all your success,
too. All right,
too.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Nick Collison, former Jayhawk, now at Oklahoma City, helping out the folks at the Red Cross to see if we can benefit the people of Moore, Oklahoma. Again, the website is redcross.org, or text Red Cross to 90999. Between the Lines continues after these messages.